Breathe life into your own backyard this spring with FastGrowingTrees.com. From shade trees to fresh fruit to privacy hedge plants, let FastGrowingTrees.com help you plant your dream garden with their expert advice and fast, reliable shipping. FastGrowingTrees.com's plant experts curate thousands of easy-to-grow plants, shrubs, and tree varieties for your unique climate. And they understand that sometimes it's hard to know which plants will do best. No problem. With FastGrowingTrees.com, you get customized recommendations based on your specific needs, and they're always available to help keep your plants growing healthy through every season. Their website is easy to use, and the shipping's fast. With FastGrowingTrees' 30-day Alive and Thrive Guarantee, you know everything will look great fresh out of the box. So join over 1.5 million happy Fast Growing Trees customers. Visit FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana now and get 15% off your entire order. Get 15% off at FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana. That's FastGrowingTrees.com/Dana.
The concern is that if this theory is actually the basis of the indictment, then this is a rather ignoble moment in history. Donald Trump may be the first former president to be indicted, but if this is the standard, he won't be the last.
Well, and this is where it gets into, as I've said, the whole tit for tat thing. And this was it's a concern that I actually had and brought up last week, because I think that now it sets up this domino effect of, well, if this, you know, if you're going to go after this person, well, we're going to go after your guy, etc. We have a lot. I ain't going to lie to y'all. This is going to be a crazy week. Welcome to the show. Welcome to the broadcast. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon hostess. And as always, you can listen coast to coast all around the country. And if you cannot get it in your area, you can stream it online. You can watch the simulcast of the nationally syndicated radio show on YouTube, on Facebook, on channel 347. I didn't have to look at Juan for affirmation finally for the first time on DirecTV. And also don't forget to sign up for the newsletter over at Substack, Chapter and Verse. Okay, so right off the gate, I was kind of joking about this because the live cam is going to be all day. It is going to be all day, the live camera. The media's, and I get the media, because it's the media. It's historic. It's a historic thing. Oh, my gosh, no other president has been for something so dumb. But this ongoing, I don't know what you want to call it, it's a soap opera at this point, the way that they are pursuing it. This ongoing soap opera, so to speak. We have the live cam. You've had lawmakers in New York City say, oh, this is not going to get out of hand, et cetera. I guess they're going to have police there tomorrow and all this stuff because he's flying into New York. So former President Trump being arraigned tomorrow, he's flying into New York and staying in New York. And then he's going to be arraigned tomorrow and they're going to do the whole, the booking, the mugshot, that's going to be a T-shirt. It's going to be the mugshot. It'll be like Frank Sinatra's mugshot. You remember Frank Sinatra's mugshot? He was the kid who got arrested. It's going to be like that. So he's going to have his mugshot, I think fingerprints, et cetera, et cetera. And then he's going to go back to Mar-a-Lago, apparently, by Tuesday night and sleep in his own bed. So whether or not there's going to be a gag order is going... I've heard people say that there is going to be a gag order, and I've heard people say that there's not going to be a gag order. And I didn't hear anything about a gag order until he had already announced that he was going to speak to the country from Mar-a-Lago tomorrow evening at in the 7 p.m. Central hour, I think is what it was tentatively scheduled for. But then after that became public, then the judge in the case came out. Well, people are saying that the judge is considering a gag order. So it hasn't been, a gag order hasn't been implemented, but apparently the potential for one exists. Why would you have a gag? I think that's such hyperbole. Why would you have a gag order in this case? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard. Democrats are so they always get ahead of their skis. And I've told you this. There is no reason to flip out. There is zero reason to flip out with anything. Because Democrats will always get over their skis, and you just have to let them do it. They always will. You just have to let them do it. So this, I don't know. It's back and forth. I mean, I literally read like almost equal amount of pieces. Everyone's speculating that he will, he won't, that the judge will implement this gag order. But apparently the campaign was considering, in the event that that was going to happen, one of the things that came out, his campaign was apparently considering adding a First Amendment lawyer to the whole thing in the event that that were to happen. So this is, I'm looking at, it could be a $1,000 fine and a prison sentence as much as 30 days if there is a broken gag order, if it's implemented. I want to be, if the judge decides that they're going to implement one, and that has not yet been determined, by the way, it would be entirely, I think that's ridiculous, especially for this. But let me tell you something. And if you ever hear me on anything, hear me on this, because there's one thing that I know. I've written about the media. Gosh, how long? I think I have been a media critic for, good heavens, going into 20 years. No joke. I started in college. Sidebar, I actually ran, I don't know if I should say this, I kind of quasi-squatted in an abandoned building in downtown St. Louis and put out a hand-churned magazine that criticized all the media. I don't know if I should say this. That was like back, you know, before you really had a totally run in downtown St. Louis. Yeah, too late. Like, there was no electricity in the building and everything had to be, like, bad. I'm not even joking you. Like, it felt like some Mad Max stuff. Anyway, so I've disliked the media for a long time. I'm not even joking. We actually did that because we didn't want to pay rent anymore. I'm just, you know, this college kid. I was like, what, 19, 20 years old? So I've been a critic of the media for quite some time. And I've written a lot about media malpractice. In fact, when Andrew Breitbart was still alive, I ran big journalism under him. And there's one thing that I can see. The media really wants to wind you up. They want you to freak out and they want you to be mad and they want you to think that everything is crashing down on your shoulders. And they really are trying to sell that to you right now. And they want you to react accordingly. They want you to react like an animal backed into a corner. And I'm telling you, please, A, that's not the reality. B, do not take that bait. Because it's they're the ones who are freaking out. They're the people who are absolutely freaking out. Do not take this bait. Because this is, I just can't imagine. And we're going to talk to my friend Andy McCarthy coming up later on. I can't imagine, honestly, when this gets into the courtroom, it proceeding. And as you know, Andy, he's former U.S. attorney. He worked in that district. And so he's going to join us and kind of, you know, discuss that a little bit because we've got some questions that he's literally the only person who's going to be able to answer those. But I'm telling you, don't, because there's 34 counts that are against Trump that he's brought, and he looked at the evidence. What gets me, and Andy pointed this out, when Alvin Bragg was finally pursuing this, he looked at all the evidence that all the other federal prosecutors did, and the feds passed on it. Bragg looked at everything else and decided, oh, we got 34 criminal counts. I mean, this is honest. It's a lot to hide nothing. That's what this is. We're going to dive into this more. But I just want to let you just know this is not going to work out well for them. And there's no, you don't, just let them get over their skis, guys. Let them get over their skis. They're already there. They'll realize it. Now, we're continuing, too, with this discussion of the three-pronged attack against the United States. Influence, unity, and economy. And there's a couple of pretty significant things to actually note here. And I saw this. This was huge. Wall Street Journal. So first off, Japan has broken with U.S. allies and buys Russian oil at prices above cap. They're citing energy needs. And apparently Tokyo won the exception to rules binding G7 nations. The U.S. had previously rallied, the Wall Street Journal notes, its European allies behind a $60 a barrel cap on purchases of Russian crude. But now, all of our allies are now buying oil at prices above cap because they said that they need to access, they need more energy. Japan got the U.S. to agree to its exception. The concession shows Japanese reliance on Russia for fossil fuels. And that is, and some people are saying that's the hesitancy in Tokyo to back Ukraine more fully in the ongoing conflict with Russia. And so the $60 barrel price cap, it's now the G7 nations, obviously it includes Japan and the EU and Australia, they all agreed to this cap, and it's the seaborne crude. And so now Japan has an exception. This is significant. Remember, this comes on the heels of now Brazil with the yuan, the Chinese currency, and then you have also Russia saying that it's going to be dealing in the Chinese currency with Asia, Africa, and Latin America. And China's currency has now replaced the U.S. dollar, according to Bloomberg, as the most traded currency in Russia, which, you know, we knew that was coming. But their whole purpose is to destroy the dominance of the dollar. September 30th, you had EU nations, they granted an exception to the $60 a barrel cap oil for purchase by Japan. Japan is like, what, just under a million barrels of Russian oil? So about $52 million, slightly lower than $70 a barrel. Now, their prime minister, Kishida, last month, made a trip to Ukraine, met Zelensky, etc. This is also, Japan's the only country not supplying any kind of lethal weapons to Ukraine. I know that the left counts that. That's a very important factor for the left. But my whole thing is the what Japan relies upon in terms of energy imports, because it has almost zero fossil fuels. And this is something that the United States could remedy, but we don't. We could outproduce Russia. We really could. And we could do it cleaner for all the enviros. We could, this is something we absolutely could handle. We could make it to where our allies did not have to be dependent upon Russia. And now I saw a very interesting piece, and we've noted this a couple of weeks ago. Vladimir Putin has taken on the role of second banana to Xi Jinping, for sure. They're the deputy now under China. China has now bested Russia. Russia was always so worried about the West, weren't they? And now they've been bested by China. They've had to basically acknowledge it. We have a lot to dig into, because this is what we should be watching. We have the left having us watch all of this. Biden can't sell inflation as economic savings for you. He's been traveling around the country. It hasn't been very successful. This is one of the major things we should be watching. It absolutely is a national security and energy and influence issue. And instead, you have Democrats pulling this Victorian freak show theater of Alvin Bragg. We have a lot to hit. We also have some media malpractice, wokery. I've always maintained that I think Bud Light is what you use to wash your steins, but a lot of you out there, I shared this on social media, you said I wouldn't let that near my steins. We're going to talk about what they did over the weekend that wasn't an April Fool's joke, and I guess that they thought this was good marketing. I mean, I can't even make this stuff up. This is so insane. So we're going to get into all of that as we roll through here towards this first in this first hour. Black Rifle Coffee Company set out on a mission to make the best cup of coffee that's ever hit your mug. And I think they've hit that mission straight on. Their dream has been to sell enough premium coffee to build a support network for veterans, first responders, and law enforcement. And thanks to your support, that dream has come true. Black Rifle Coffee is roasted by a veteran-led team of brilliant coffee graders who work tirelessly to roast and bag the highest quality coffee here in America. And the coffee is truly one of a kind and my favorite. Your support has helped Black Rifle Coffee Company expand their team of active duty service members, veterans, and veteran family members. And they were able to donate over 120,000 bags of coffee to veterans and first responders in 2022. Visit blackriflecoffee.com/Dana and use my code Dana at checkout for 20% off your purchase and your first coffee club order. That's blackriflecoffee.com/Dana. Use code Dana and also look for Black Rifle Coffee in grocery and convenience stores. Black Rifle Coffee, America's coffee.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
Filed under, you don't say, CDC team studying the East Palestine health risks got sick during the investigation Members of the CDC's team that were studying the effects of the train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, became briefly ill earlier this month, the agency told media outlet The Hill. A CDC spokesperson said 7 of the 15 investigators experienced symptoms, including a sore throat, headache, coughing, and nausea, which are similar to the symptoms of the residents that in the area who reported all of this following the train crash in early February. So apparently they're trying to figure out whether it was exposure to chemicals or fatigue. Of course it's exposure to chemicals. What did you think? What did you think this was? I don't know what I think about this. CDC is telling people, stop it with the cookie dough. Quit it. You know, they make sidebar. There's a restaurant like not far from us that makes edible cookie dough, which is kind of a weird phrase, but why are you saying yes? Like you're... I do too. I used to get the Pillsbury, like the tube of it, when I was in like high school and college. Holy cow, I would eat a tube of that a week. It's crazy. Anyway, I know I did. I actually did. I don't know how. Salmonella outbreak has sickened people in 11 states. So now the CDC is renewing a call. Stop eating raw cookie dough. The agency confirmed that it launched an investigation into the outbreak, noting 12 illnesses have been reported. 3 required hospitalization. They said that they range from states in California, Iowa, Minnesota, Missouri, Nebraska, New York, Ohio, Oregon, Tennessee, Virginia. Illinois has 2 cases. And it's going up from December to last year all the way up till last month. And they said of the seven people and local public health officials, they said that 6 ate raw dough or batter right before they came sick. Now, here's the thing. The only common ingredient, don't say eggs, was flour.
What?
It's the flour. They're trying to say that there's a specific brand of flour that could be responsible for this. They said flour doesn't look like raw food, but most flour is raw. So it's the flour. Fetterman has been released from Walter Reed. He says his depression made him indifferent. And he was speaking to CBS Sunday Morning. And he said he spoke to Jane Pauley. He said he became indifferent about living, but he's been released now, you know, for depression. Stay with us. Folks, your financial freedom is at stake when the government thrives on creating unrelenting inflation, an astronomical debt, crippling interest rates, and market turmoil that we haven't seen in decades. And now you have an administration that wants to tax everything that you have to fund runaway entitlement spending. You should empower yourself with opportunity and the freedom to pursue success and to keep the fruits of your hard work. And if you want to protect your future, you should call a precious metals dealer that I trust, American Hartford Gold. They can show you how to protect your savings and retirement accounts by diversifying your portfolio with physical gold and silver. And all it takes to get started is a short phone call. And American Hartford Gold can have physical gold and silver delivered right to your door or inside your IRA or 401k. They make it easy. American Hartford Gold is the highest rated firm in the country with an A+ rating from the Better Business Bureau and thousands of satisfied clients. Call today and they'll give you up to $5,000 of free silver on your first qualifying order. Call American Hartford Gold today at 866-887-1188. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899. That's 866-887-1188 or text Dana to 998899.
How much attention should you be giving the Hunter Biden investigation? Although it's not illegal, both sides of the aisle have been engaging in influence peddling for decades. The voters are ultimately responsible for electing these corrupt politicians. What can you as the voter do? Check out the Watchdog on Wall Street podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast.
Listen to The Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
Isn't that weird? I mean, he's the current. He hasn't said he's going to run again in 2020. You know he is. Shush up. But it's weird that this is the guy who gets to control the playing field for his opponents. Mm-hmm. Interesting. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon, this Monday at the bottom of this first hour. And it didn't really... So that Trump is leaving. He left Mar-a-Lago, traveled basically a couple minutes down the highway to Palm Beach International Airport. He's going to fly out of Palm Beach. He's going to Manhattan. staying in Manhattan tonight at Trump Tower, and then he's going to have his arraignment tomorrow and do the booking photo, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And everybody, I mean, they got live cameras on everything. Can you imagine? And it is all because Alvin Bragg and Democrats are over their skis. All of this. All of it. So we're just, you know, we're going to keep an eye on everything and let you know as it, you know, as things develop. I mean, there's pretty much, everybody knows what comes next. He gets on the plane, and then he's going to fly on the plane. The media, I just get OJ. I'm not saying he's OJ. I get OJ vibes with the type of coverage, right? Oh, yeah. Do you remember where you were when they did the OJ thing? We were at a friend's house. We were at a friend's house playing cards. I was in high school. We were at a friend's house playing cards, and it was on the television. And because, you know, I know so much about football, I had no idea who O.J. Simpson was. I was like, who is this man? I had no idea. Later, you know, we all learned. But that was the media's. They love that. They love that stuff. If they can get a picture in picture and they can have, like, the live coverage of the vehicle or, you know, the airport or the tarmac or something, they love it. Do not let that actually be the measure of how outraged or not you should be. Okay? Trust your gut, folks. Don't let Democrats get over their skis. I'm just not freaking out about stuff because this is also dumb. It really... Kane, you were live on air. You said you dropped the covers to take all that live.
Yeah, interesting. We did. Mm. We didn't. We obviously couldn't play any of the video doing radio.
I mean, you're doing radio. How goofy is that? Well, the vehicle is still driving.
Yeah. And that's still the driving thing. But the announcers and the fact that it was it AC? Who was it that was driving? I forget it was a famous football.
Oh yeah, that one guy. Al.
Was it?
I don't know what his last name is. What is his name, Al?
Alcy Hastings.
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't remember.
Honestly. It sounds right.
I'm just going off the top of my head. But yeah, I do remember back then it being the craziest story because this was a huge personality. This was a football star. Guy's been in movies. He's done everything. And then we're seeing him being chased by hundreds of police in a white Bronco. Mm.
So why we have the media on this, and it's we're he's on this Trump plane. He just got it refurbished. He gave Daily Mail a tour. I hate Daily Mail. All right, so a couple of a couple of things here to touch on. We've been following everything that's been going on with the Alvin Bragg case. I don't know whether or not there's going to be a gag order. We're going to talk to our friend Andy McCarthy coming up next hour because it just seems so weird that it hasn't, there hasn't been one that's been issued, but there's been a lot of discussion about the potential for one being issued. So not sure how that's, I just seems completely over the top that such a thing would happen. Yeah, they want the mugshot, which is going to be just like Frank Sinatra's mugshot. It'll be like that. It'll be on t-shirts. It'll be magnets. It'll be all those things. He should smile in it. He shouldn't look sad in it. He should smile because I think it'd sell better. So I wanted to also continue with our three-pronged attack: influence, unity, and economy. The United States. A couple of things here. So speaking of New York and Alvin Bragg in Manhattan, a garage worker was charged with attempted murder after shooting a thief. A Manhattan parking garage attendant. He was shot twice because he came upon an alleged thief. And he, after the confrontation, he wrestled the gun away and then he opened fire on the suspect. The overnight worker, identified as 57-year-old Musa Diarra, was also hit with assault and criminal possession of a weapon. So he saw this guy like trying to bust into cars on the second floor of this parking garage. And the attendant brought him outside, asked what was in his bag, and instead of cooperating, the man pulled out a gun. So that's when Diarra tried to grab the weapon, and it went off, and it shot him in the stomach, grazed him in the ear, and then he was able to wrestle it, got it from the thief, and shot him in the chest, apparently. The thief, Charles Rohde, 59, he was also charged with attempted murder, assault, and criminal possession of a weapon. And police hit Diarra with attempted murder, but it wasn't, I mean, who knows if prosecutors are going to actually follow through? Because we're all of the outrage. Remember Jose Alba? He was the bodega clerk in Manhattan. Oh, sorry. How does Jill Biden say it? Bodega. Bodega. That's right. Good night. So remember July 1st last year, Jose Alba defended himself and he was charged by Bragg's office. So Moussa Diarra, who is, you know, clearly he was trying to defend himself. And some of the people within the family are speaking out, and they're like, you're hitting this dad with these charges. This guy tried to rob him. He's there for security. It's literally his job. And now they're going to end the criminal possession of a weapon, because he was able to arrest. He was able to take the gun out of the hand of the criminal and then use it to defend himself. And they're going to charge him with possession. This is one of the stupidest things. This office is the anus of hell. I don't know how else to put it. Yeah, it is. It is. And I don't regret it. And I'd say worse, but I'd get fined. And the people who work nearby were absolutely incredulous about all of this. They're like, this is, in fact, New York Post was interviewing them. And they were all going, this is an April Fool's Day joke, right? The fact that he got charged. How does a hardworking guy get charged for defending himself? But this is Alvin Bragg's office. Now, remember Jose Alba? He was in Rikers for like 6 days. And it wasn't until an intense amount of public pressure that the charges were dropped. Now, both the guy who was defending himself and the criminal who tried to kill him were taken to Bellevue Hospital in stable condition. So, I mean, this is the office with which we are dealing. And this is part of that restorative justice with these Soros-backed prosecutors. And I'm so tired of the media trying to get everybody to shut up about this by saying that, well, it's anti-Semitic to point out that it's Soros-backed. Well, no one's talking about him being Jewish. That's like me, again, telling everyone that if you disagree with me, you're sexist. No, his actions, Soros' actions, A, are public. How he spends his money is public. And this has nothing to do. That's just a dodge. People are trying to impugn your character to get you to shut up about what this guy's doing. Do not take that. It's a Soros-backed prosecutor. And he funds all of this breakdown in law and order in all of these cities. And it has contributed to that. I mean, it's like half of these cases now, Bragg's office downgrades. So you're going to get more stories like this. So this story, a Texas man used a $30 Apple AirTag to track down the thief who stole his Chevy truck and then shot and killed him in a shopping center parking lot 20 miles away. So this is in San Antonio. Kane, what's the party that runs San Antonio?
Oh, that's Democrat.
Thank you. So you have the 44-year-old criminal who stole the truck. Well, no, 44-year-old Andrew Herrera is the guy who, he's the one who was shot by the truck owner. Herrera, a criminal and a truck thief, stole it, drove it 20 miles. He was located because the owner tracked it with an Apple AirTag and confronted him. You're going to have more cases of vigilantism the more restorative justice you have. The more you protect and coddle the criminals, the more cases of vigilantism you're going to have, because people are not going to expect the system to work on behalf of them. And this is all by design. It is all by design. All of it. What gets me is all the people that are writing about this. You know the angle that they took with it? The danger of Apple AirTags.
Oh my God.
Well, why don't we talk about the reason why a man would feel the need to take this into his own hands? Maybe it's because he doesn't feel he can get justice anywhere else. Maybe it's because this is, you know, I mean, you're seeing the breakdown of law and order in major cities all by design. Yeah, would the dude be dead if he hadn't stole the drug? This seems like an important question to ask for some clarification. Nobody wants these cases of vigilantism like this. You want to be able to have the system work as though it was intended. But I'm telling you. Now, on Bragg, apparently, the New York Post notes that they were considering the charges, I guess, they were dropped this morning. They were dropped against the victim this morning. So Bragg has decided, but it was only, again, just like with Jose Alba, the bodega owner in Manhattan, only after an intense amount of public pressure. I mean, he wants to jail the innocent and exonerate the guilty. But that's all part of it. Absolutely all part of it. Now, I have a couple of other things here. Wokery. Did you guys watch the CMTs? Because I didn't. Did you watch them? Okay, you didn't. They had a drag show. some country singer who's probably session musicians wrote all of her music, performed with drag queens at the CMT. And honestly, I cannot stand pop country. I loathe it with the burning passion of a thousand suns. I can't stand it. And you have these people who sing it with zero feeling at all whatsoever because they didn't write any of the music. This isn't anything that they felt. They're acting. They're singing. They're using their vocals as an instrument, but they're acting. So they had the drag queen thing. The left has been after football, NASCAR, and country music for a while. Because if they can make those over in their own images, you have fewer pop culture platforms through which, because it also can be a means of distribution. So she had this, I'm not even going to say her name. I don't even know who this chick is. You know who this chick is? No. I don't know anything about this chick. She looks like a blonde Katy Perry, though. So she performed with drag queens and called them great iconic queens, great ladies, et cetera, et cetera. There's, you know, if you want to go to a drag show as just like with adults and see a drag show performance, I don't care what you do. It's when you decide, when you try to use that as a measure of how open-minded someone is when it comes to their kids. It's when you start taking kids to adult shows. If you don't think that drag isn't built around sex-related content, you're a moron. It absolutely is. And when you start, why don't you take your kids to strip clubs then? How open-minded are you? You know, I mean, this is where we're coming down to. We have a lot more on the way we're like barreling towards the end of just this first hour. And coming up, Bud Light, man. Literally. That's all I'm going to say. As colleges and universities across the country hold their graduations, I'd like to highlight a place where students receive the best classical liberal arts education in America. And when these students graduate, they've studied the great books, the history of Western civilization and of America, and the meaning and history of the Constitution. Can you guess who I'm talking about? I'm talking about Hillsdale College. Hillsdale was founded in 1844 to offer the kind of education needed to preserve civil and religious liberty, and holds true to that mission while refusing to accept one penny of taxpayer funding, not even indirectly, in the form of student grants and loans. Hillsdale students also abide by an honor code, which ensures a unity of purpose and fosters lively, civil, and intelligent debate. See for yourself and learn from Hillsdale for free through their influential Speech Digest in Primus and by taking online courses on American history, the Constitution, and other subjects. Find out more at dana4hillsdale.com. That's Dana 4, F-O-R, Hillsdale.com. Join the battle over education for our country's future today.
Of all your favorite talk hosts, one of these is not like the others. The Dana Show.
The town of Rolling Storm will be back, and we'll be with you every step of the way. And I said Rolling Fork, Rolling Stone. I got my mind going here.
Wow. Is it, though?
Is it going?
Is it actually going? Because I just feel like maybe it's not. Because
I think it's gone.
I think it's gone. Maybe going isn't the word that he was thinking of. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, bottom of this first hour. And we are, apparently, so Trump's leaving Palm Beach. He's going to Manhattan. He's going to have the arraignment tomorrow. And then he's going to go back to Mar-a-Lago tomorrow. And so that's the timeline. And next hour, we're going to speak with our friend Andy McCarthy about all of this. Just because I have some questions for him about how in the world this felony charge can be justified. B, whether the indictment's ever going to be unsealed, because it's still sealed. And the only reason that we know kind of what we know is because of Michael Cohen, and I'm trying to think what else. Really, that's kind of it. So I'm just, there's a lot we don't know. What do you think it'll get dismissed? I mean, that's another question I would love to know. Like, what is it possible for them to, you know, to look at this and be like, this is not the case. There's not a case here. I mean, it's a grand jury. So I'm just curious as to the whole, that whole process. You know, what does the trial timeline look like? How is that? Because can you imagine? I mean, it's going to be just a spectacle. So we'll we're going to get into all of that. Don't be baited, because I have a theory. It's not a popular theory, because it's not popular in that I don't think people want to acknowledge it, but it's very realistic. And I think that we got to consider everything on the table here as we go to 2024, because I honestly don't think after 2024, I think it's going to be too late for a lot of the regulatory abuse. I think it's going to be too late for the dollar. It'll be way too late for that. It's going to be too late for our influence worldwide. Out of every election, this is the most pivotal election. Really is. So much hinges upon this. And that's why it can't be used as a tool of revenge. It can't be used as anything other than we have to win. If you believe in American influence, which is freedom, if you believe in dollar dominance, if you believe in a strong national security, all of these things, I think we can pretty much agree on it. It's not even a possibility. You can't lose. So we're going to get into all of this. We'll bring you all the latest. We got Andy McCarthy joining us. Wokery, Bud Light. Really? Really? Bud Light? It's like water. Stay with us. You've heard me talk about my friends at Kel-Tec for years, and it's because I really believe in them as a company and as innovators. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond, like with the Kel-Tec P50, a revolutionary award-winning pistol that packs a punch in a compact package. The Kel-Tec P50 is perfect for home defense, for range shooting, or just even having some fun. And with its top-mounted Picatinny rail, you can easily attach your favorite optics or accessories to make it truly yours. Whether you are a seasoned shooter or you're just starting out, the Kel-Tec P50 is the perfect pistol for anyone looking for power and precision in a compact and easy-to-use package. Their firearms in design and function go above and beyond. Learn more about the P50 pistol at KeltecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec. KelTecWeapons.com. Tell them Dana sent you.
I mean, the point is, this is election interference. We don't know how. No one really knows how this is going to play out. We just know that it is going to be a factor. We have crossed the Rubicon from people saying, on the left, President Trump should be indicted, to the discussion is going to be President Trump was indicted.
Well, and that's John Ratcliffe on, kind of some of the obvious here. Is it crossing a Rubicon? Is it the point of no return? I think that kind of also depends on how the judge is in this case. And I think it depends on whether or not, this is even, if it goes forward, or whether or not it is even, whether it even goes, just if it's dismissed or not. We don't know. We're going to talk to Andy McCarthy about all of these. I just have a million questions coming up. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you. And this Monday, happy to be with you guys to start the week off right. To follow everything. We've been, good heavens. So while all of this has been happening with Trump and with this DA, do you remember... I just want a quick flashback here. Do you remember Audio Soundbite 18? Do you remember what Joe Biden and the administration said about the Chinese spy balloon? You guys remember that? Listen, just a quick flashback. Listen.
Wasn't it a major security breach for the United States? Just the fact that the balloon came into the airspace and flew over the country for so many days.
No, look, the total amount of... intelligence gathering is going on by every country around the world is overwhelming. And the idea that a balloon could traverse, break American airspace is, it's not a major breach.
It's not? Because it is. In fact, more information now coming out about this. The Chinese spy balloon that flew across the U.S. in February gathered a heck of a lot more intelligence from a number of American military sites before it was shot down. This according to two senior officials and a former senior administration official. Sources said China could have gathered more intelligence if not for the administration's efforts to block it. which, what did they do to block it? I mean, they let it go across the whole damn country. And it didn't just go across the whole country. I mean, it stayed over certain sensitive sites for an inordinate amount of time. So the intel collected was, they said, mostly from electronic signals rather than images. This is what officials told NBC. China previously claimed that the balloon was a civilian weather balloon that just strayed off course. No one believed that at all whatsoever. Nobody believed that. Not from the get-go. So, of course, it did have. And there, of course, this was a number of other spy balloons. Apparently, there was one over in October of last year over military bases in Hawaii, a number of them. You had one over Coronado, one over some Texas military bases. I see a balloon. I just feel like it's in my yard's my airspace. Right. So I feel like I'm going to react to that, you know, just saying. But also, didn't they shoot down? And one of the things that they shot down, wasn't that like some high school weather project? I get a little bit concerned when our government that I trust can't tell the difference between that or the weather balloon. You know what I mean? Or the quote unquote weather balloon or the spy balloon. I get a little concerned. But this apparently, we knew this. I mean, this is them stating the obvious. This isn't anything that we didn't know. But now they're really trying to, I think, they're running a lot of defense for the president on this. They did recover one from the Atlantic Ocean. They're still analyzing it, apparently. So, of course it was. So they lied. We don't know exactly what it got, but it did get some sensitive information, mostly from electronic signals, not so much images. So that's, I mean, we kind of knew that. What gets me is on this, I'm going to pull this up, because the Washington Post had this piece that was out today. It was actually hysterical. It says, on foreign policy, Biden's gut is his guide. So they're trying to rehabilitate him. This is a puff piece that they probably arranged. The subhead was, the president often rejects the views of aides and experts in favor of his long-honed instincts. Long-honed? Isn't that kind of redundant? A little bit, first off. Can we just start with the basics? This is a stupid headline. Yasmin Abu Talib is the reporter here. And they set it up, this whole piece sets him up as being this, you know, he's a foreign policy guru. And that, you know, remember the reason that he was even picked to be Obama's VP back during the day was because he supposedly had these amazing foreign policy instincts. And then, of course, Robert Gates, who was the first defense secretary for Barack Obama, had written that Biden is wrong, has been wrong on nearly every major foreign policy and national security issue over the past 40 years. Well, we know that he rejects the counsel of aides. We know that he does at least that much because we saw Afghanistan. I mean, that was incredibly significant. He didn't listen to anybody on that. I mean, he just decided to go through his, you know, go out his own. So I just, and there's, of course, there's audio of Gates saying this too, but they're really, really trying to rehabilitate him in terms of foreign policy in the eyes of people with this piece. This is such a ridiculous piece. This is like the same thing, him traveling around the country talking about how great the economy is. No one believes that the economy is great. Nobody believes that it's great. Everyone's broke. So we told you earlier, speaking of foreign policy, Japan's buying oil over the capped amount now of Russian crude due to an exemption approved by the United States. They got a G7 exemption. They've broken with U.S. allies and they're buying Russian oil at prices above cap. So that's pretty significant. The dollar dominance pretty much at this time, in terms of oil and that, I mean, energy wise, we're not doing so well. Russia is becoming dominant as with energy. China's currency is replacing U.S. dollar as being the most traded currency in Russia. They're trying to mitigate damage that was done by sanctions and also diminish the dominance of the dollar. And in the meantime, what do we have here in the days of the United States? You have this stuff going on with Alvin Bragg and Trump, and then you have Joe Biden out there telling everyone, no, 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 you're not broke. That's all in your head. It's not a recession. That's all in your head. Can we play this? Well, I know we have some audio soundbite 20. So it was, I thought it was an, it wasn't an April Fool's Day thing. When I first saw this, I did not think that this was a real thing. So as part of the ongoing ever way to further divide America, you know, Dylan Mulvaney is a dude who cosplays as a woman. Ken and I were just talking about how we don't know, neither of us know any women that act like this at all whatsoever. So he's partnered with Kate Spade. He's partnered with a bunch of other brands. He was one of the guys that sat there for Ulta, and they were talking about how hard it is to be a woman, trying to sell makeup to women by talking about how hard it was for them to be a woman. And all he talks about, my youngest son asked, what does this guy do? And I go, he just bitches about how he's, nobody wants to kiss him because he's a dude being a woman. I don't know. He's a, there was a piece, he actually did a whole thing on that. It was in Daily Mail, which I hate. But he, no, what does he actually do? Like, what does this guy do? What is his job in life? He has surgery to shave his jawline down, maybe shave the bump in his throat down. I don't know. He has surgery to try to look more feminine, have more feminine features. And he gets, I don't know, he pretends to be a woman and he gets all these brands partnering with him. How, ladies, how long y'all been women? And you haven't gotten any brands to partner with you. Bud Light is the latest. Listen to this. Audio soundbite 20.
Hi. Impressive carrying skills, right? No. I got some Bud Lights for us. So I kept hearing about this thing called March Madness, and I thought we were all just having a hectic month, but it turns out it has something to do with sports.
Why does he look like a
pillow? And I'm not sure exactly which sport, but either way, it's a cause to celebrate.
He sounds like Elizabeth Warren.
This month, I celebrated my day 365 of womanhood, and Bud Light sent me possibly the best gift ever, a can with my face on it. Check out my Instagram story to see how you can enjoy March Madness with Bud Light and maybe win some money, too. Love ya! Cheers! Go team! Whatever team you love, I love, too. Okay.
He tries to be...
Break a leg.
Everyone's... He tries to be like the your friendly neighborhood dude who's an aunt. I don't know. But doesn't he sound like Elizabeth Warren? Hi, sweetie. Would you like a beer? He sounds just like her selling this. We made fun of Elizabeth Warren when she did it, but this guy does it and like he gets a brand partnership. Do you want to drink Bud? I wouldn't. Bud Light's what you use to wash your steins. Although some people are like, I wouldn't let my steins near that. They're too precious to me. I actually had people say that verbatim. I was just laughing so hard. What is the point of this? Is there, who drinks Bud Light? Because I got to tell you, I mean, Kane and I have met gay people before. They don't, they're not Bud Light. They're not Bud Light drinkers.
They were Zima for a while.
Was it? I don't even know gay people drink Zima.
Yeah, that was a thing in the 90s.
I mean, there was somebody I know, a friend of mine, who describes that they're describing themselves as a gay conservative, but they don't hold a lot of the positions that you think that they would. In fact, none of the positions you think they would. But, and they were saying very seriously, I only drink Pinot Grigio. Like, what? But my whole point is, what is this supposed to, who is the market audience? Who is the audience for this? My stepdad is not going to be like, oh, that man who looks like a lady, trying to look like a lady, is on this can of beer. I think I'm going to buy some more Bud. Nobody does this. Nobody thinks like this. Right. What is this for? To virtue, unless, I mean, are they trying to get more? I mean, it's like fewer than 1% of the population. Are they trying to get more transgender people to drink Bud Light? I mean, you're drinking urine-colored water. Let's be honest. Right? With foam. That's it. What is the... How many sales do you think this moved units, Kane? Do you think this actually...
Did it move any units?
Pun intended. Yeah, did it? Do you think that this really helped them with their sales?
I really don't think so. Like you said, the people that already drink Bud Light are not... I think they may be influenced
by
this.
He is such a stereotype. This Dylan Mulvaney.
Yeah.
And this guy, he tries to act like he doesn't know anything about sports because he thinks that women don't know anything about sports. He's a sexist. He's actually sexist because he's trading on sexist tropes to make up his cosplay character. That's exactly what he's doing. Exactly. He's a walking definition of sexism. Well, I think that women don't like sports, so go team. No, there are a lot of women that like basketball. A lot of women that play basketball. They just don't watch WNBA. But, you know, I don't understand why or who is... Does he have an agent? Like, how do you sell that to someone? Well, what does your talent do? Well, he just talks about how much he wants to be a girl. I'm sorry, what? Yeah, that's all he wants to do. He just wants to talk about how badly he wants to be a girl. Mm-hmm. He got boobs. I'm sorry, what? By the way, he was also in a bathtub with some beer wearing a bra. Ladies, you know, because you take baths with your bras on, right? How do I girl? I don't know. I got the lipsticks and the makeups. What do I do? How do I girl? Americans have had it. They're done supporting companies that rake in hundreds of millions, sometimes billions of dollars, while trashing the country that made their success possible. Until recently, we had to take it. But companies like Patriot Mobile are building a whole new economy, one which embraces the values that made America the greatest country on earth. Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider, offers dependable nationwide coverage on all three major networks. Plus, they offer a coverage guarantee. If you're not happy with your coverage, you can switch to a different network for free without changing carriers. With Patriot Mobile, their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Just visit patriotmobile.com/Dana or call them right now at 878-PATRIOT. Get free activation today using offer code Dana. We should stand together and support companies that share our values. patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT. That's patriotmobile.com/Dana or call 878-PATRIOT.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
The killer in Nashville was actually pictured with the middle school basketball team as former players have spoken out about the killer's obsessive and stalkerish behavior. Told you, there's always something. During her time at T. Cresswell Middle School in Nashville, she was apparently part of the Lady Comets team. And even the coach said she was, you know, she was a bench warmer who had only played if the team was really winning or losing. But apparently there were girls that had a lot of problems with her because she was really obsessive and stalkerish with the girls. And every single one of them now, they're all talking out. They're all speaking out about this. There's always some sort of behavioral something. Always, always, always. A federal judge has strikes down Minnesota's ban on open carry for 18 to 20 year olds. This coming from late Friday. It was a Minnesota law requiring the person to be at 21 years old before obtaining an open carry permit. And they ruled that the law violated the right to bear arms under the Second Amendment of the Constitution. I'm sure that they're probably going to appeal, but it actually does make sense, particularly when you consider other legal precedents. Andy McCarthy joins us next to explain everything that's going to happen tomorrow.
Want a behind-the-scenes look at The Dana Show? Subscribe to Dana's chapter and verse newsletter for a deeper dive in all things Dana at danalash.com.
We will take the indictment. We will dissect it. The team will look at every potential issue that we will be able to challenge, and we will challenge. And of course, I very much anticipate a motion to dismiss coming because there's no law that fits this. And you have a situation where, you know, the federal government, the Department of Justice turned this matter down. The FEC, which governs federal election laws, said there's no violation here. Yet somehow a state prosecutor has taken a misdemeanor and tried cobbled together to make it a felony by alleging a violation of federal campaign violations.
Well, and this is just such an odd case. And we've been discussing all of the latest developments with this, including Trump leaving Palm Beach earlier today. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash with you. You can listen coast to coast, or you can stream it. You can also watch the simulcast of the program, Channel 347, DirecTV as well. Our friend, Andy McCarthy, who is, I mean, this is his wheelhouse. You know him. He's a best-selling author. He's a contributing editor at NRO, also Fox News, former chief assistant U.S. attorney. He knows this Southern District of Manhattan very well. And his book, of course, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. You may have to write another one on this, Andy. So good to have you. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time today. You had some amazing, I want to get to a couple of the amazing pieces that you had, particularly one about the 34 charges. Clear this up for us, because this is I know enough about the case but I know what I know and I know what I don't. I don't understand, and I think a lot of people listening don't understand, Andy, how you can have an expired misdemeanor be used as sort of the launch pad to make this a felony charge. Of course, then at the same time, I don't know how you can just basically craft federal election law into being a state case, but I mean, wouldn't the expiration of the misdemeanor charge, doesn't that come in, can't that be considered by the judge? It's also weird to me.
It's the weirdest thing of all time, Dana. I think you're not the only one who doesn't get it. I think that the courts of New York, if this isn't a rigged situation, and I don't want to prejudge how the judge is going to preside over it, those are the very questions that ought to be asked. But let me just lay out as simply as I can what the mechanics of how he's trying to do this are and why I think it's illegal. As you point out, the misdemeanor charge of falsifying business records has a 2-year statute of limitations. And for our purposes, let's assume that the record keeping relates to the payments that were made to Michael Cohen by Trump to reimburse Cohen's laying out $130,000 for this hush money arrangement with Stormy Daniels. And we understand that there's a second arrangement with another woman that may be relevant to this case. That happened around the same time, so it shouldn't change our statute of limitations analysis, right? Hmm. So if we figure that the last payment to Cohen is December 5th of 2017, if you figure that the records of one business year generate tax records in the next year, because that's when you close, you do your taxes for the preceding year, let's say this could go into the middle of 2018 as the end of when the statute of limitations gets triggered. I would think that for purposes of the misdemeanor, this would have been time barred in 2020. And what he's trying to do is get it into 2023. He needs a 5-year statute of limitations to do that. That's the felony charge. So in New York, the misdemeanor is the 2-year statute of limitations, but there is also a felony falsification of business records that has a 5-year statute of limitations and a potential 4-year prison sentence, by the way. The misdemeanor is less than a year. So here's what he has to prove to get into that 5-year felony territory, right? You have to prove that the misdemeanor was committed. That is, that he falsified business records with a fraudulent intent. That's the misdemeanor. Mm-hmm. And to get a felony, the extra element is that in committing the falsification of records, he was trying to conceal another crime. So you have to prove that there was another crime, that he knew he had committed the other crime, and that he intentionally tried to conceal the crime very consciously by falsifying the business records. Right. So that's what you would have to show. Now, the reason I think he will not get away with this or should not get away with this, there are many reasons for it, but I think the first and to me the most obvious is in the New York statute where it says conceal another crime in the felony part, they're obviously talking about a New York crime. This is the New York Penal Code. So when you say another crime, what the statute is talking about is another New York crime. It doesn't say anything in that statute that gives him authority to prosecute a federal crime. And if the New York legislature wanted to try to give him that authority, and it's dubious whether they could have, they would have said so in the statute. Since they didn't, he's got to take the position that where that statute says another crime, it could be any crime, not just a New York crime. So I'm going to ask, is a crime against the law of France okay?
Right.
You know, is a Sharia crime okay? You know, where do we go?
Yeah.
So I think the only sensible way to read that is that it's got to be a New York crime. And since this is a criminal case, people should understand that in the criminal law, where there's any ambiguity in a statute, that's supposed to be construed in the favor of the defendant because the defendant is presumed innocent. So the defendant gets bounces of the ball.
Right.
So I don't think he will get away with this. And then obviously, the other thing with this, I think he's got enormous proof problems with this, because even if this was a legitimate way to charge Trump, if we look back at the John Edwards case, which we've talked about a lot with in connection with campaign finance, do you know in the John Edwards case, the Justice Department and the Federal Election Commission disagreed about whether it was a crime? The FEC said they looked at it and they said nothing here. The Justice Department looked at it and said, we're prosecuting. And then the judge wasn't sure whether it was a crime or not. The judge decided to let it go to the jury. So implicitly, the judge was finding that, yeah, maybe it's a crime. And the jury acquitted. Mm-hmm. So nobody could agree on that one, right? Which should tell people this is a very abstruse area of the law, even for people who practice, you know, criminal and regulatory law. So the thought that Donald Trump knew that he was committing a campaign finance crime on facts that are even more sketchy than the facts in Edwards' case, and that he not only knew that, but that was the reason he falsified the business records, to me is ridiculous. I mean, the thought that he even knew, because I don't think it was a campaign finance crime. And, you know, I actually went to law school.
Right.
And even showed up for class occasionally. So I just don't think, you know, the idea that, you know, this is a criminal case. He's got to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that Trump knew this was a campaign finance crime, and that this was the reason he was acting, when I think it seems pretty clear that he was acting in order to, for the same reason he entered into the non-disclosure agreement in the first place, which was to keep from his wife the fact that he's paying off a porn star.
Exactly. We're talking with our friend Andy McCarthy. Andy, I want to ask you as well, because you had a great piece where you were looking at the criminal, the 34 counts. It's titled, What to Make of the 34 Counts Against Trump That Bragg Just Needs One. And you write that Bragg looked at exactly the same evidence as the feds did, but yet he was the one who decided, yeah, it's worth 34 criminal counts, not one or two, but 34. And you called it, and you had a secondary piece on this, notorious prosecutorial abuse. And I love this point, the effort to camouflage with quantity what a criminal case lacks in quality. But he just needs one of the 34.
Yeah, so I think the best way to look at him, Dana, and this is Bragg, is we should stop thinking of him as a law enforcement official or a district attorney and take him for what he is, which is an elected progressive Democrat won office, regardless of what office it was, in Manhattan by promising his blue constituency that he would exploit his power to get Trump. This is not like the federal government, where the prosecutors are appointed rather than elected. This is not this is a political thing. It's totally infused with politics. In the federal system, when they pick a prosecutor, they vet the prosecutor in the Senate first. He's got to get, you know, consent from the Senate before they can serve. And one of the things the senators always make a point of testing you on is whether you're going to use your power in a partisan way. That's not how it works at the state level, and certainly not in New York. This is an elected progressive Democrat.
Right. Oh, goodness.
The Justice Department has, in federal prosecutions, guidance, which I, in these columns that you were good enough to mention, I excerpt the Justice Department guidance on this. Basically, DOJ tells prosecutors, don't bring more than 15 counts, because what they're afraid of is you have no case, but you slice and dice what you have to stack up a bunch of counts. And the way you do that is, Dana, if you and I thought we're gonna conspire to sell some stolen property, right? Mm-hmm. And I show it to you to say, what do you think we could get out of this? And you hand it back to me, and I hand it back to you. Every time we hand it back and forth, that's another felony. It's another transfer of stolen property. So there's only two of us, and there's only one scheme. But every time we go back and forth, theoretically, technically, you could charge that as a separate crime. So what I assume that Bragg is doing here is, like, there's 12 checks to Cohen, and he had to put in 12 invoices, and they probably made 12 entries in the business record. So they're taking something that's one scheme and turning it into like 8 zillion counts. Wow. And I was thinking, I look back at this, you know, when I prosecuted the blind shake mm-hmm. back in the 90s, I think I brought 5 counts against a mass murdering multiple, you know.
5 compared to 34 now. Oh my gosh. Oh,
because if you have a murder or a terrorist conspiracy or an actual crime, you don't need to bring 47 counts. One will do, you know, 2 or 3. You'll get all of the sentencing exposure that you need to neutralize a person like that, which is what the objective is supposed to be in law enforcement. Mm. So what you don't want prosecutors to do is when they have pretty much nothing, suggest to the jury that this must be a really bad guy if the state would bring 34 charges against him.
Right.
And what often happens in these cases is, you know, you'll get jurors who think they should apply the law, which is what they're sworn to do, and they don't think there's a case. And then you may get some jurors who either hate Trump or they're going to hear some very unsavory information. You know, this may not be crimes, but this is bad stuff that they're going to hear about, right? So they'll want to convict. And the judge, if they look like they're going to hang, the judge will tell them, look, this is a charge the judge always gives in that situation. Look, you have to try to resolve this, because if you guys don't resolve it, then we'll just have to have another trial.
Oh, my gosh. We can't do that. Yeah, we have a couple of minutes left. Our friend Annie McCarthy, yeah. I have 2 quick questions for you.
Yeah, sure.
This reports that I'm hearing of a gag order, that's weird. I don't know if I necessarily think that seems a little over the top. I just don't see the judge doing that. Do you?
I think it's possible that he could gag the lawyers, although I don't think he should. I don't see what authority he has to gag Trump. Now, the judge could gag the lawyers because they're members of the bar and members of the court. Mm. But the litigants, you know, the parties are not. Well, the state, obviously, but you know, that would be a terrible intrusion on electoral politics for court to do that. And I'd be surprised if he doesn't.
I would as well. And last question for you, our friend Annie McCarthy, and again, I don't know the process, particularly when it gets to this level. Is there a possibility that this could be dismissed, this case?
I think so. I think it'll be dismissed if it's not a rigged process. I don't want to prejudge the judge. We'll have to see how he performs. But I think this case should be thrown out on legal grounds. I don't think Bragg has jurisdiction to enforce federal law. I think the statute of limitations has run on the misdemeanor. It may have run on the felony. So I think there's a variety of reasons why this could be thrown out prior to trial.
There you go. Our friend Annie McCarthy, get his book, Ball of Collusion, The Plot to Rig an Election and Destroy a Presidency. Seems like he's going to have a part 2 of this now. Andy, always so appreciate your insights. Thank you so much for your time. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Dana.
Of course. Thank you.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Mm-hmm. All right, I got to do this one first. There's video up on CBS showing the police officers handcuffing an innocent 9-foot gator who was just roaming about Tampa streets, minding his own business. Little innocent gator. If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. There's no gators that are innocent, okay? 9-foot alligator. It was just hanging out by Raymond James Stadium, home of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Just a gator. Just an alligator, you know, just doing its thing. Whipping its tail around, hissing at people. And so the police approached it because it had it looked like it was afraid. And I never felt sorry for a gator before. But they went in, officers were called. They made this noose out of a yellow rope. They lassoed it around the top of his mouth. And then the officers were like, you want to jump on him? You want to jump on him? So finally one of them did. And they had to... They had a third officer to help weigh down his, like, you know, to keep his mouth shut. And then they covered his eyes with a towel, duct taped around his mouth. They taped together his legs so that they could get him. They wanted to find him. They're working with Florida Fish and Wildlife to find him a more suitable home. And the Florida Fish and Wildlife's #1 alligator trapper, apparently, he was called to assist. He said he was very impressed with how they did it. And they did it, you know, exactly as they were supposed to. They don't hurt him when they're doing that. They're trying to get him, you know, not hurt, but they rehomed him to probably a large puddle. But it was out there hissing at people and waving its tail. I don't like anything that hisses. I don't like hissing things. It's just weird. But just chilling there on the road, minding his business. All these people are standing around videotaping this thing. It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. But it's like right by the state. It was right by where the Buccaneers play. A gator right there. Oh, can you imagine? What if like somebody's leaving the game and they've had a little much and they fall into a hissing gator? I'm just saying. Those things are everywhere down there. Stay with us. Third hour on the way.
Well, it says that Ron DeSantis will say anything, do anything in hopes of becoming president. It says also a lot about the state of the GOP, and that is you have to attack the justice system. You have to speculate about motives. You have to assume the worst. And in that statement as well, you have to disregard the law. Say you won't extradite someone accused of crime. In order to be competitive in the Republican primary. He goes beyond that and tries to tie George Soros to this, which is, you know, this not so thinly veiled anti-Semitic element that is very popular within certain portions of Trump's base.
Yeah. Adam Schiff saying that it's despicable. You're not supposed to talk about George Soros and his involvement in restorative justice and bad, corrupt DAs. You know, all across, you can't talk about that because he's Jewish. That seems anti-Semitic, honestly, for him to say that. Welcome back to the program. Top of our third hour, Dana Lash here with you. You can listen across the country at a station near you. You can also stream it online. You can find us at YouTube, Facebook. Lots of discussion happening. YouTube and Channel 347 DirecTV. So they're saying that DeSantis is somehow anti-Semitic because he's remarking on Soros' politics, which is dumb. To remark on Soros' politics and say that you can't talk about his politics because of his background? That's dumb. That's, again, I'll use this a million times. It's like saying that you cannot argue with me because it's sexist. Even though that has nothing to do with the point at hand, but they know this. That's the whole point. They want to shame you into not pointing any of this obviousness out. Now, we talked with Andy McCarthy last hour, and we'll have that up at on YouTube for you and Facebook, because that was incredibly insightful, him explaining how all of this works out. And he kind of tends to think, too, that there's a really good chance for this whole case to be dismissed. It's just bizarre. And while all of this is happening, you have a bunch of other stuff. Always watch what they don't want you to watch while they're trying to distract you with all of this other stuff. So we've been talking about this, you know, multi-prong approach. I wanted to get into some more of this energy and economic threats that we see Democrats doing here within the U.S., including, and I have this up here. Where's the light bulb thing? I have this story. So apparently, Biden's going to be going after light bulbs. Well, and is already going after light bulbs, which is the dumbest thing I've ever heard. They've done this before, though. This is somewhat similarly. It's a light bulb ban that is expected in the coming weeks as a part of the climate agenda. They're going to prohibit retailers from selling incandescent light bulbs. This was a regulation finalized by the Department of Energy in April of 2022. It's going to go into effect on August 1st of this year. And the DOE is going to begin a full enforcement of the ban on that day. They've urged retailers to begin transitioning away from the light bulb type and issuing warning notices to companies. Jennifer Granholm said that we want to build a better and brighter future, blah, 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 blah. They said that it's going to cut carbon emissions by a made-up number amount. It's official, made-up number amount. And they said that under the rules, incandescent and similar halogen light bulbs will be prohibited in favor of light-emitting diodes or LED alternatives. And a lot of people have already used LED. Fewer than half of households apparently are using mostly or exclusively LEDs. It's a huge jump from what it was previously. I think 47 American households are coming. This is the Residential Energy Consumption Survey. About 47% of households use mostly or only LED. I can't even believe that I'm like, it's a damn light bulb. Who gives a rat's backside what you're using? Really, we have to have the government. We need to micromanage the light bulbs that you got in your house. Can you show us some light bulbs? Energy regulations, according to survey data, guess who it's going to impact the most? Lower income Americans. 54% of households with an income of more than $100,000 per year use LEDs. Only 39% with an income of $20,000 or less use LEDs. I mean, that's good. Hey, you know what? Us banning certain types of light bulbs totally solved China's pollution.
Did it?
It's all gone.
Is it?
All gone.
Wow.
Why do we have to? Wait. Let's hold up for a second here. China doesn't do a damn thing. They're the biggest polluter in the world. The United States has done more to be good stewards and conservationists than these other nations. So why do we have to make all these sacrifices? I mean, I don't even know if I use incandescent light bulbs. I don't even think I do, but I want to now, right? When you tell me to not do it, I want to do it now. So in my house, there's like certain things that are divided up, and I consider light bulbs to be man's work. I do. I'm not even going to lie about it. That's man's work. Does it have to do with the lawnmower? Man's work. Light bulb? Man's work. I don't want to hear anybody from anybody desperate to prove themselves hardcore. But I do that. I don't care. I consider that in my house, it's man's work. I have it all. That's just how I look at it. I don't want that stuff. I don't want to mess with. You mess with it. And it's just, you know, how it is. I'm not going to explain it. I don't really mess with the light bulbs. I want to be able to dim them. That's all. I just want to be able to dim it. You know, I just want that ability. I don't care. I don't really care what it is. And now I want all incandescents though. I want to buy all of them just because they said I can't have them. Because it's not something the government needs to be involved in. Look, if it's a better product and it's going to save people money, and if it lasts longer, then allow people are going to come to that decision by themselves. You don't need the government out there doing anything. Because usually if the government is involved, it's usually wrong. I mean, pretty much like almost all the time. But they're flexing so hard, and Granholm and Department of Energy are acting like this is we're being so responsible. And then they want all these efficiency regulations to make your gas stove worse. This is after they've done stuff with air conditioners and refrigerators and washers and all of this stuff. So the president signed an executive order his first day in office, if you don't forget, to make major revisions to appliance regulation standards. They can't let anything that was done by the previous administration stand. He's got to go through. Golly. He acts like a jilted lover and not like a president. Like, that's how the administration's acting with this stuff. So the light bulbs. But this is just, this is not doing anything. There's no like real serious impact here. There's not. I will argue with you all day. This is so dumb. Now, while speaking of economy, the president was traveling. He tweeted this on April Fool's Day. Quote, "When I took office, the economy was reeling. Hundreds of thousands of small businesses had closed, and millions of Americans had lost their jobs. We got relief to small businesses fast to jumpstart the strongest recovery of any major economy in the world." Why was it like that, Joe? But why was it like that, Joe? But why? But why? Why was it like that? Why was it like that, Joe? Why? Because of the pandemic and the lockdown that you all wanted. They wanted everything, and they were mad that if it wasn't locked down longer. And then now they act like, well, it was Trump that did it, and Republicans, they were the ones who ruined the world. Like, they didn't advocate for this. So the economy actually was starting to recover. We all remember that. You're not going to lie to us about that. The economy was recovering. And then he goes in and decides, wow, this is doing too good. Let's kill it. And ruins it all. Heaven on earth. Yeah, that was a great April Fool's Day joke. It was really good. I mean, inflation was, when he took office, gas was what? $2.30 a gallon. Inflation was at 1.4. Today it's over 6. Gas is like $4. Real wages are dropping because inflation is so horrific. I mean, on April Fool's Day, it makes sense that he would share that. In Florida, Governor Ron DeSantis has signed the permitless carry, a.k.a. constitutional carry, into law. The left is losing their minds. Absolutely losing their minds. They're saying that, I mean, they always say that there's going to be crime and all this stuff happen. You know, when Texas is went into effect, you didn't see any of that. But there was the open carry aspect of it had been introduced as an amendment, but it didn't make it in. There are some Republican lawmakers in the state legislature that were really, really hesitant. However, from what I understand, the governor's office was, well, and he had said it, he strongly opposed or strongly supported, DeSantis had strongly supported open carry. And there were some Republican lawmakers that would privately in the state of Florida support it, but they were terrified to support it publicly. But I would imagine as the legislature grows more conservative and feels more confident about those gains, that I would imagine that we're going to see that in Florida. But the left is losing their minds. Now, to that point, audio soundbite, let's get 12 ready, because Asha Hutchinson is apparently, I guess, going to be throwing his hat in the ring. He was the, for president, he was the governor of Arkansas from 2015 to 2023. He's the former governor of Arkansas. And he's announced a presidential bid. He says, quote, I'm going to be running. So he's, which why? I don't know why. But I want to go ahead and listen to audio soundbite 12 if we can.
I wonder if you become the Republican nominee and if you were to be elected president, would you sign a national law raising the age to purchase an AR-15 to 21? Because you yourself floated the idea last year.
I think that, if Congress came into a consensus on that, that's something that can be looked at. And so I'm open to that, yes.
And you're disqualified. Yeah. Asha Hutchinson's now disqualified from any consideration for. What an answer. Just say yes. Don't be like, don't try to sit here and blame it on the Republican legislature, who are not going to do this, by the way. What a goofy thing. You know what? If he actually wanted to win, and this is why politicians like Asha Hutchinson will never, ever have any hope of winning, because he answered a stupid question and he took it seriously. He took it at face value and answered it seriously. His response should have been, well, you mean just AR-15s? What do you think? Are you asking me if I should just raise the age on everything? What are you asking? I mean, he could have responded like that, but he's too eager to be liked. He wants so badly to be liked. You're going to have some candidates out there that think that maybe Trump is too belligerent, or they think that DeSantis is too aggressive. And so in contrast to that, they're going to seem as meek as kittens. That I hear that from a Republican candidate. Hell's bells. I'll go to Arkansas and help campaign against him. My word. Immediately disqualified. Immediately cut. Immediately disqualified. So this, we got more to come. I don't know how you can say something like that. But he's been saying this for a year. Asha Hutchinson has been saying this for quite some time.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So this is sad. 1 in 4 college applicants avoid entire states for political reasons. It is sad that it has to be like that, or that it is like that at all. It shouldn't be, but it is. This is something that they've talked about for a long time in admission circles. They say that some of the most prestigious institutions, maybe if you guys didn't treat conservatives so poorly, like for instance, Stanford in California, Rice in Texas, Columbia, New York, University of Miami, Tulane University, Tulane in Louisiana. They said that a number of conservative and more classically liberal applicants rule out those schools along with their states because of partisan politics. So especially if they're very, very far left. The most rejected states are Alabama, Texas, Louisiana, and Florida, though. How crazy is that? It's not about, this is all about politics. It's not about academics. Good heavens. Military obesity. Crazy. Pandemic pounds push 10,000 U.S. Army soldiers into obesity. That's wild. And apparently research shows that obesity surged in U.S. military during the pandemic. In the Army alone, 10,000 active duty soldiers developed it between February 2019 and June of 2021. The rate was pushed to nearly a quarter of the troops studied. Increases also seen in the Navy and Marines. They got to bring the forces back to fitness, said one expert. Well, that's what happens when you shut down the country and you make everyone stay home. What did you think was going to happen? And a dermatologist says that, well, the TikTok, I hate TikTok, social media trend of smearing pickles on your face for beauty reasons isn't totally crazy, but it is. Stay with
me. Your one-stop shop for the information you need to fight back. If you're going to have to learn stuff, you might as well enjoy it. The Dana Show.
The first weeks in office, the Biden administration halted deportations for 100 days, stopped all border wall construction, and suspended the Remain in Mexico policy. Critics say it all added up to putting a come in, we're open sign on the door.
I don't think that the more than 1 million people last year that we removed or expelled would consider the border open.
But the messaging, was the messaging wrong there that, you know, we're open?
That wasn't our messaging.
Oh, my gosh.
But that was the messaging.
But that's what migrants were getting.
Because remember something, that we are not the only source of messages that the migrants receive.
Oh, shut up.
We have smuggling organizations that exploit the migrants, and those smuggling organizations engage in mis- and disinformation.
Like DHS? Like DHS, your department?
Not that bad.
Gosh, she's got Pelosi brows. What's up with that? Like... He's always shocked. Welcome back to the show. Dana Lashier with you. Oh my gosh. Bottom of this third hour. That's Alejandro Mayorkas speaking to, I don't know, random news network. I love the reasoning. It sounds so ridiculous. Well, that's because, and then he does the pincer thing with his hand. That's because we're not the only source of messages, okay? It's, you know, the cartels. They've got messages. They're in the messaging messages. Mm-hmm. No, this is the same guy, mind you. The New York Times did, and to their credit, they actually did journalism. Oh, I shared that piece with you. It was like last month where they went through and were looking at the number of kids that were coming across the border illegally alone, and then they wind up in child labor. And there was this huge, and we're not talking like a few, we're talking hundreds of thousands. And that Alejandro Mayorkas was actually part of this problem because all of these third party government contractors that were working with DHS to provide resources for detention centers for kids for them to stay at until they were processed and then they were released to supposedly a family member or something like that. He was on the phone with them telling them to do it faster. And that's where that audio soundbite where he said that, you know, Henry Ford would be upset with you because you're not fast enough getting these people out of here. And, you know, there was, you know, quarter of a million kids who DHS just, you know, immigration lost total contact with. And a percentage of that, they have zero contact with at all anymore. And they're finding all of these kids that are being put in these positions where they're working, you know, in factories. And it's a significant amount. And it's not a made up point. And this is because of his policies. He's telling them process them faster. They're not even checking to where they're sending these kids to. I mean, a lot of these, in fact, there were some third-party contractors that did not continue working with the federal government because they did not like Mayorkas' ridiculousness with us. I mean, you went from having a waiting period at the border, which you wouldn't even have this issue if you didn't have a damn open border to begin with. But under Obama-Biden, they implemented this period of time. It was like no more than 8 hours or something like that. And where they would separate minors from the adults so that they could make sure that these kids weren't being funneled over through some trafficking scheme and that these were actually their relatives before they would reunite them and then they would process them and then release them into the interior. Well, the way Mayorkas is doing it, he doesn't even care to whom these minors are released. And so there was a very lengthy piece in the New York Times, and it wasn't just one or two government contractors that were speaking out about his push to do this faster with less time to actually verify where they were sending these kids to. So he can sit here and say, well, this is misinformation or disinformation. What about the, you know, the number that we took back to Mexico? What about the millions that have been able to cross in the past, you know, few years because of your policies? What about, you know, the quarter of a million kids that you can't, that, that you've lost contact with because you insisted, demanded that this, they be processed faster through the, with these third party contractors, government contractors. And now you've lost, you know, track of a significant number of them, and they're in child labor, et cetera. I mean, where's, I really wish that they would have really drilled him down on that. But for him to say, no, it's not just us with the messages. No one would have any other messages other than the one that you are projecting. Cartels are making a business out of this because of the messages that are coming from his party, this administration that he supports and of which he is a member as head of DHS. This is all coming from him. Good heavens. I mean, at least have the beans to sit here and take ownership of your failures. Oh. Now, to this point, we've been talking about the multi-prong attack on, you know, really the left's design to weaken the United States from within. Guess what? Now, oil prices are spiking. Saudi Arabia has announced plans to cut oil production. Surprise, surprise. Let's first go to the Associated Press, which reports, because it's OPEC Plus, it's Saudi Arabia and other OPEC Plus nations, they're announcing major, major cuts totaling 1.15 million barrels per day from May until the end of the year. This is going to raise your gas prices even higher. And guess who it benefits more because it's OPEC Plus? Russia. The Saudi Energy Ministry, Saudis, so, just so you know, hate Joe Biden. Saudi Arabia hates Joe Biden. Joe Biden is a walking disaster on foreign policy. They, relations, I mean, just, we went from an administration that had normalized relations between Saudis and Israel, kept Saudis and the United States on pretty good terms. And now we have this. We were actually self-sufficient with our oil, and we were the biggest exporter of oil. Now we're having to beg Venezuela hat in hand. So this is going to very much benefit Russia, a part of OPEC Plus. Now, the Saudi Energy Ministry said that they're going to have their own reduction of 500,000 barrels per day. That's going to be made in coordination with some of the other OPEC and non-OPEC members. This is in addition to a reduction that was announced last October after Biden flew to Saudi Arabia to beg them to not do this. And they said it's a precautionary measure aimed at stabilizing the oil market. The cut is about less than 5% of their average production. So they're going to cut, they're cutting barrels that they're per day right ahead of the busiest driving season. Mm-hmm. So this was just announced this morning, coming from Associated Press. And this after Japan is now getting their oil from Russia. They got the exception among G7 nations. So they're getting over the cap, over what was limited. And you have the petrodollar, which is, I mean, now it's being destroyed, with Chinese currency being used by Russia, being used with Africa and Asia. Mm. So this is, they said it was a precautionary measure. Now, Moscow is going to extend a voluntary cut of 500,000 until the end of the year. All of these are members of the OPEC Plus oil exporting countries. This would not even be news if we were still net exporters. This administration is willingly playing along with the rest of these nations in reducing energy independence and making us vulnerable completely. Remember, Biden was like, oh, Saudi Arabia was going to be a pariah over the Jamal Khashoggi killing. I didn't get into all the Jamal Khashoggi stuff because it's a big thing on the, it's a talking point on the left who sits here, they sit here and say, oh, we have to protect the press, except that's situationally applied. But it also overlooks the fact that Khashoggi was an activist. He was an activist, if not more so than he was a quote unquote journalist. And he was picking fights with Saudi Arabia. Now, for the stupid that might be casually listening and just driving by on the airwaves, it's not the same thing as saying it was deserved, but it's also saying you need to know who you're picking fights with. And then the way that this administration reacted was ridiculous. You're going out there running your mouth. Joe Biden was writing checks with his mouth that he expects all of Americans to cash with their asses. That's exactly what he did. And so we're going to be seeing that at the pump. I mean, this has been so strained. And then, of course, you have the Saudi-Iran conflict. But now China's taking the lead there. And Saudi Arabia is looking to China to do so because they can't stand the Biden administration to normalize relations. Because, see, Obama, Biden have always wanted to back Iran, who blows up our troops and, you know, everything else. So this is just further disaster. All OPEC plus. But hey, you're going to save, what, 15 cents on your hot dogs this July, right? Oil prices are going to surge. You know, really, I really wish at the press avails they would ask this. This is what they should be discussing. This is what the question should be on. But nothing. Nothing. So, I mean, this comes on the heels of, I told you earlier, the Washington Post piece. Biden has long honed foreign policy instincts. Long honed. It's kind of redundant. Now, one other quick, I'm going to point to this. This is a dumb story that I wanted to hit that had to do with a British network. What is it, like GB, I think? Isn't it a British network? And they were freaking out because, I hate when people put me in a position of defending Biden on anything. They were very upset because it is GBTV. Apparently he's not going to the coronation of Charles, the King of England. Did you guys hear about this? So a guy named Dan Wooten, I don't know who he is. He does stuff with the Mail Online, and he's with Great Britain's News Channel. And I think they're a little like GB. I don't have any complaints. I just think they're a right-leaning network. I guess like the British equivalent of Fox. But this guy, he goes, quote, Biden planning to snub the coronation of King Charles III tells you everything you need to know about how one of the worst presidents in modern history feels about the United Kingdom. Shame on him. Okay. I didn't realize that this wasn't basic knowledge that I didn't even have to Google because I learned about it in school. There's literally been no president that has ever attended a coronation of a monarch ever. Literally ever. And that's probably because our entire founding is in a revolt to that. So why would the United States president go and attend as a show of support or whatever the coronation of a monarchy which we literally fought a war called the War of Independence to relieve ourselves of? Do people realize how absolutely stupid that sounds? There are a million things to get mad at Joe Biden over. Do not make conservatives in the United States have to defend this slug because you don't know basic history. My word. I saw that and I could not even believe what I was reading. This is like basic history. All right. We have today in stupidity on the way. And we also, we'll finish out the show. We've got, I do have some more wokery. If we can try to, they're putting trigger warnings now on Gone with the Wind. You knew that was coming.
Listen to the Dana Show live on the Odyssey app. Weekdays, noon to 3 p.m. Eastern Time.
make sure that you sign up on Substack, Chapter and Verse. All kinds of good stuff, little Bismarcky, all kinds of good stuff that comes up on Chapter and Verse. And you can also find our bumper track music up on Spotify, too. All that is actually in our link tree, which is in all of the links of all my social media profiles. So all that good stuff. I'll be on Jesse Waters' program tonight, topic TBA, and it's in the 6 p.m. Central hour. So make sure you tune in. And of course, tomorrow we have the whole circus happening. The Alvin Bragg Circus. So, yeah, that's right. So, oh, that's right. ABC. It's the Alvin Bragg Circus. ABC. Man, we're going to be leaning into that heavy. So we'll get into all of that. I saw this thing from James Patterson. He made news because he wrote the New York Times a letter that they won't publish, saying that they were cooking the books on their bestseller list.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. They've totally done that forever.
Yeah.
My first book, which was like, it was number one on Amazon for a while. And it was, I think, because I had outsold some of the people on the list by like a good chunk.
Yeah.
And I wasn't on the list because they weigh independent booksellers and Barnes and Nobles and things like that more so than like if you get your book at Costco or if you get it at Walmart. And think about this. Where do conservatives or Republicans or even independents, where do most people get their books? Right. Like a lot of us, like Amazon, Walmart, I get my books at Walmart. I'll go roll up into Costco and give me some books at Costco. So a lot of people, that's where they get a lot of their books, but they weight against those to a ridiculous amount. So it's not about sales. It's about ideology. It's ridiculous. So anyway, so good on Patterson for doing that. All right. Today in stupidity, King.
All right. It's our Vice President, Kamala Harris. Is it Kamala or Kamala? It's Kamala. She's wanting everybody in Africa to know she grows peppers. Listen.
Oh, this is sweet pepper.
This is sweet pepper.
Oh, fantastic.
Yes.
Okay. Like, she wouldn't know that's a pepper. She'd be told that.
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Okay, this is sweet pepper.
And so the scotch bonnet, habanero, and jalapeno.
She didn't know what it was, but she grows peppers.
Like, you don't grow it. I mean, that's like the most obvious plant in the garden. Like, you know it's a pepper. Just like, what type of pepper is it? So she was like, these are peppers? I grow these food items in my own garden. Folks, that does it for us tonight. Catch me on Jesse Waters tonight. I'll be back on the mic with you tomorrow.